How many believe God is good?
Yes.
Amen. Worthy of our praise and worship. Amen. We have a very special treat for you this morning. And one of the very best communicators, as far as I'm concerned, in the body of Christ. Pastor Sherry, would you come and preach, please, this morning?
Let's welcome Pastor Sherry.
There he is.
Rosh Hashanah, a Jewish holiday. I received this week two Rosh Hashanah cards in the mail. And I thought, yeah, okay, that's nice. They want to bless me. I read them, you know, just kind of passed over. And then I thought, do you really know what that means? Do you really know what Rosh Hashanah is? And I started thinking about it. I thought, oh, and I kind of put it out of my mind. Oh, never mind. And then I received another card, and I thought, you know, maybe the Lord is trying to speak to you and say something to you here. And I said, yada, 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 yada. And decided to look it up and start studying it out. So I did, and I want to share what I found out with you this morning. It's a Jewish holiday, and let's look at what the words mean. Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. It's a new year for people, animals, and legal contracts. That's what it said in one of the dictionaries. Actually, Judaism has four new years. However, it's on Rosh Hashanah that the year number actually changes. It's considered one of the holiest days of the year. A little different than our New Year's, huh? Our New Year celebrations are a little different than Israel's New Year celebrations. The Torah calls it the day of the blowing of the shofar. Leviticus 23:24, and you can turn to that if you want. Now read it. Leviticus 23:24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. It's also mentioned in Nehemiah 8:9, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshahatha, and Ezra, the priest of the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And this is kind of important to us here at Door of Grace, because Grace Christian Center, because in our reading through the Bible in a year, right now we've been reading about Ezra and about Ezra bringing back the word of the Lord and reading it before the people. And I thought, wow, yeah, that's good for this to come, this teaching to come right now, because it'll give us a little more understanding as we're in this section of scripture together. Rabbinic literature and the liturgy describe it as a day of remembrance. It is the only Jewish holiday to fall on a new moon. It is the only holiday on which the shofar is blown more than once. The shofar, the horn, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to put one up just to show you what they look like, and then pass this actual picture of a shofar around. Upside, is it upside down? Is that right? Okay. Anyway, they're very long. We bought one when we were in Israel and brought it back, and one of the people in our former congregation actually learned to play it, and it's very hard to play. They play one long note like an alarm. Then another way they play it is three medium blasts, and then another way is eight quick staccato notes followed by a longer blast. Many Jews consider the blast of the shofar to be indescribably beautiful and moving. It is large at this end and small at the blowing end. And there's significance to that, because as they go through the holiday, and you'll see this as I get on with the message a little bit, they start with purging themselves and getting rid of their sins, and then finally coming out to a larger, wider opening where they're able to not think about themselves, but to reach out and bless other people. Tradition. Tradition tells us, now remember I said that, tradition tells us, not right from the word with scripture, but tradition tells us they heard the blast of the shofar at Mount Sinai. Abraham sacrificed a ram after God spared Isaac. Tradition holds that God blew one of the ram's horns at Sinai and will blow the other horn to announce the coming of the Messiah. Some see the blowing of the shofar as a warning for people to wake up and turn their lives around. Others see it as the piercing, the shell that has hardened around their hearts in the previous year. The shofar is very, the horn is very hard. It's very hard shell. The holiday day is characterized by the blowing of the shofar. However, if the holiday falls on a Shabbat, the horn is not blown that day because you can't work that day. So they blow it on an alternate day. The blowing of the shofar is intended to awaken the listener from his or her slumber and alert them to the coming judgment. On Rosh Hashanah, the shofar is blown 100 times. 100 times. During the day. And it's the different little patterns, and they sent it like there'd be two or three of just that first one, and then the second pattern, maybe they do one of those, and then one of the long blasts, and then back to one, and they just keep repeating those, but not just in order. It's kind of like they put together a mosaic of sound. This is the day on which the years of the kings were counted. Many Jews say that Adam, we're still in tradition, many Jews say that Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah, so they see it as the birthday of humanity. It is the day Ezra chose to renounce other things and reintroduce the Torah to the Jews who returned after the Babylonian exile. Of all the Jewish New Years, this was the one that the Jews relate to when you say to them, Happy New Year. Some midrashic descriptions depict God as sitting on the throne, while books containing the deeds of all humanity are open for review, and each person is passing in front of him for evaluation of his or her deeds. Again, we're still in tradition. It occurs 163 days after the first day of the Passover. It is a festival that occurs on the first and second days of the Jewish month of Tishri. The setting of the date of Rosh Hashanah is very intricate and interesting. There is much scholarly controversy over whether or not it is a 1 or 2 day festival. Remember, the Jewish day, you know, it starts... The Passover, it starts in the night and goes to the morning and around. So there's lots of, you can get into books, volumes are written on how long exactly this day of Rosh Hashanah should be. And scholars don't all agree. The earliest reference to the celebration of Rosh Hashanah is in the account in the book of Ezekiel as it was observed after that time. Religious services for the holiday focus mainly on the sovereignty of God. Some customs of Rosh Hashanah. Now we're out of tradition, still in tradition, but out of tradition and into customs. This is what they do. No work is permitted on Rosh Hashanah. Much of the day is spent in the synagogue. They have a regular liturgy, but then they have an expanded service, special prayers of repentance and refreshing. Special foods are eaten. And I wanted to get, I'm going to run back to the bread box from Mike and Molly. This is the only day they have brought a brown loaf of bread. They were oval. They were. We got oodles of white long ones. I love those. Sometimes there's 3 or 4 of those. And you know, 4 or 5 round ones. No round ones today, so I'm going to just hold this round bread. Oh, I can't. So imagine that I have a loaf of the Village Bakery's round bread. Okay. And it's round, and they dip that bread in honey to make it for a sweet taste. Apples are also dipped in honey. Other special foods are dates, black-eyed peas, leeks, spinach, without the problem. Gourds and pomegranates. The challah bread is baked in rounds for a purpose, and that's to show the cycle of the year. Instead of something just long and with ends, it's to show the cycle of the year. Another custom is casting off or tasselage. Micah 7:18 and 19 says, and you will cast all of their sins into the depths of the sea. A popular practice is casting off, walking into a flowing water, such as a creek, river, or ocean, something with moving water. Small pieces of bread are put into the pockets and taken with them to the water so they can symbolically cast off their sins. Now, Rabbi Richard Israel says, for ordinary sins, use white bread. For dark sins, use pumpernickel. For auto theft, use caraway. For being money hungry, use raw dough. For being holier than thou, use bagels. Another custom is the greetings. You would say, El Shana Tova. It means have a good year. Or, Shana Tova Yu Mituka. A good and sweet year. A longer greeting translates into you, may you be written and sealed for a good year. The whole key here is repentance and casting off. A time of reflection and self-examination. And then coming into Rosh Hashanah, the new year, with hope and excitement, anticipation of better things to come. In this holiday in Israel, this is the time of wonderful harvest, beautiful harvest. Markets burst with colors, the bulging pomegranates, deep, shiny eggplant, huge green grapes, the succulent dark brown dates. The air is fragrant with the aromas of the flowers, the aroma from the bakeries as they prepare the holiday food. It is a very solemn holiday. Not a sad holiday, but a solemn holiday. The days preceding Rosh Hashanah are spent in introspection. So preparation for Rosh Hashanah is a time of looking back at the mistakes of the past year and planning to make changes in the coming year. Doing Rosh Hashanah right is not an easy task. It is often very painful. To be honest with yourself, acting like a detective, rooting out your less than honorable thoughts, words, and deeds. Probably the most important aspect of Rosh Hashanah isn't the judgment, but the teshuva, the return, the renewal, or the repentance that each Jew is called to. It is a serious stab at the beginning of a process of forgiveness and forgiving others. What does this all mean to us today? What does it mean to Grace Christian Center? 2006. What does it mean? What can we learn from it? It was really interesting because as I looked into it, I thought all I was going to read about was history. I thought I was going to read about a festival that happened a long time ago. But more than that came to my mind as I was reading it, and the Holy Spirit was able to use it to touch my heart. It's a day. Could we possibly be in the last days? Anybody got a clue that maybe we're someplace around? Let's see in pants. How many think that we're getting close there? You know, the line is kind of getting closer and closer all the time. Then why shouldn't we, as Christians right here today, want to give ourselves to our own Rosh Hashanah? why shouldn't we look at the past and say, I don't want to do that anymore, Lord. I want to repent from those things. But more than that, not just staying there. Sometimes Christians are paralyzed because we spend so much time in asking forgiveness and introspection and looking back that we never get to the other end of that shofar where we see a bigger world and we propose to do right and good and reach out to others and let that love of Jesus shine through us. We can all focus on repentance and self-examination, sins of omission, sins of commission, and ask God's forgiveness. Shall we walk to the water? Even if in our minds, today I'm going to go to the beach and I'm going to take some bread. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to actually do it. Why not? Why not? As a commitment to Jesus. Shall we cast our sins into the deep, gone and forgotten? Letting go of the past and reaching on to the future, reaching on to the prize, doing what we were created to do, renewing and refreshing our intentions, our priorities, and our sense of spiritual connectedness so that we can more fully celebrate our God who made it all possible for us. We can celebrate Jesus because he atoned for us. The blood of Jesus makes this possible. Oh, Sherry, there you are talking about the blood of Jesus again. Yeah, I think it's pretty important. He made it all possible. He made it possible for us to forget the past, to confess and forget it, and go on into the future, covered by his blood. Amen. We can celebrate and be excited about looking at a new year for our Christian lives. We can declare in our prayers that God is the majesty of our lives and reaffirm that we have been given a great gift of being able to choose. That is a most precious gift. We have the ability to choose. We have the power, the right, and the privilege of reaching out and not holding back. Let's not hold back those good things that are within us, that God wants us to bless each other with and bless the world with. We can concentrate on getting back on track with our priorities, back on his track. We can remember the deeper things and return to our deeper identities. How many of you know within your heart there's a deeper identity in you than the one that just shuffles around day by day and is diligent and gets things done? There's a deeper identity within us, one that is full of the Holy Spirit, and we need to let that be expressed through us. Reckoning on the fact that we are indeed new creatures in Christ Jesus, we can believe we have the potential of new beginnings. We can stand on the fact that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ, I've said that so many times, and many of you are getting tired of it. Don't ever get tired of it. Let me just keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. Christ in you is the hope of glory for me. Christ in me is the hope of glory for you. Say that to one another. Just turn to somebody and say, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Amen. 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 Christ in us is what makes it work. Christ in the other person is what makes it work. That's what it's all about. He gave it to us. It's a gift, both for fellowship with him and for fellowship with one another, because we have that mystery in us. We have the power of forgiveness within us. We can forgive the other person because Christ is in us. Man, I had a big lesson in this last night. I was very disappointed in someone, not in my own family, but not any of you, just a business connection thing. And I was very disappointed. I wasn't disappointed. That is really a nice way of saying it. I was furious. I was livid at this person. I mean, I was really as angry as I get, I guess. I was, and I wanted everything bad for this person. And you know, Carl was just so, he was so sweet. He tried to talk to me, and I said, don't teach me. I don't want to be taught. Because I just knew, oh my gosh, you're going to give me this big lecture on being Christian and being a Christian pastor. I don't want to hear it. I just want to be mad. But this message is also this thought, not a message, because at that time it wasn't a message. It's this, what is it? What is Rosh Hashanah? I needed it, right? I needed it for my own life. And it was only through being in this that I had to finally say, Jesus, forgive me. I am so sorry. I was so stirred up at this man. Can I let it go? Can I let go of the past? No. Help me. No, I can't. I still want to be mad at him. I was really mad. Anyway, I finally just said, no, it's not worth it. Being mad at him is not Christ in me. He will never come, this person will never come to Christ if I show this person that sign. He knows he did wrong. This gentleman, not junk, this individual. this human being, knows he did wrong. He knows. Now, if I show the love of Christ, maybe he'll say, wow, something different about her. She should really be steamed at me. And instead, I hope the next time I see him, I really do hope that I can show the love of Christ. And I'm thankful for this message. I'm thankful for the teaching, because I can have that Rosh Hashanah in my own life and go on to better things. Amen. And restored relationships. We have the power, I repeat, right and privilege to choose good over evil, wisdom over selfish ignorance, and reaching out over holding back. We can concentrate on getting back on track with our priorities. We can remember the deeper things and return to our deeper identities, reckoning on the fact that we are new creatures in Christ. We can believe we have the potential of new beginnings. We stand on the fact, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I guess I can't say it enough times. Let us embrace Teshuvah, returning to that spark deep inside of us, rediscovering it, allowing its light to warm us, to envelope us, to fill us with the Holy Spirit. To allow the Holy Spirit to be one with us, that we might live for our majestic Heavenly Father to totally accept His sovereignty in our lives. Folks, last night I accepted His sovereignty over my selfish, determined will to hate. I accepted and let that deep spark deep inside of me come alive, that I might live for my Heavenly Father instead of for myself. Oh Lord, we bow to your divine morality and rule. And we can pronounce a blessing on each other, saying, may your new beginnings be fruitful, spiritual, deep, and most of all, sweet. Rosh Hashanah. Amen. Pastor Kim?
I think that this has been powerful. Thank you. Excellent. You still got it, kid. Wasn't that excellent? Absolutely powerful. Honesty that makes it profound when you hear the personal application. And what a delight to be able to take a look at history and give it a present application in our lives. History, just as an old story, does no good. It's interesting. I like it. But it really doesn't change my life today until or unless I personally apply it. How about you? How are you personally applying the Word of God to your life? Do you know Jesus? Have you had a Rosh Hashanah where you've been able to look at those sins, confess them, repent of them? If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ personally, I urge you, surrender to Him. What does it take? Short prayer, but a meaningful heart. Everybody bow your heads and pray with me. Lord Jesus, right now I repent of every sin I've committed, of my sin nature. I turn away from it. I surrender my life to you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I yield to you fully. And I receive you as my Lord, my Savior, my Shepherd. Amen. Now, if you've never prayed that prayer, you've just given your life to Jesus. If you have given your life to Jesus, but you know there's something God's working on in your life today, you heard something as the message took place, respond. There's no need to go out of here down in the dumps. There's every opportunity to go out of here in the sweetness of spirit, the joy in which she brought that message, as we have that opportunity to meet with God. But what we're going to do is we're just going to sit where we are quietly for 30 seconds or however long. I want you to ask the Lord. Sometimes we don't even need to ask. He's already there. We know what it is. But ask the Lord if there's anything. And if you'll keep playing along, that'd be great. And just ask Jesus to show you something. If there's something there, then ask Him to forgive you, to wash you clean by His blood. We're going to cast these sins off our back. Then we're going to rise up with rejoicing. Just take a moment now. Now, Lord, together as a congregation, each of us individually, together in a congregation, confess this thing. We repent of it, Lord. We turn away from it. We walk away from that which does not please you. Jesus, by faith, we look you in the face. And we receive your cleansing blood. Lord, just wash us clean right now by the blood of Jesus. And thank you for your conviction and your grace. Now, what I want you to do is take that thing, whatever it is the Lord spoke to you about, and I want you to cast it away from you. Now, don't cast it on anybody else in this room. But cast it away from you. Just thrust it away. Do it right now. Just cast it away. We cast it away now in Jesus' name. We cast it away. Now, just begin to thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your freedom, your cleansing, your grace. Thank you for your mercy, your life, and your love.